Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
We have been discussing new wine, new wineskins. Last week we talked about new wine is put into new wineskins, but the word new wine is different than new wineskins. New wine is it hasn't been before. It just showed up. The new wineskins means to be refreshed or renewed, and it's talking about your soul. Because the Bible said in Romans, you remember, said, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is your soul. That same word about renewing and this thing about being fresh or new wineskins is the renewal. So our new wineskins are in our soul. So every time we connect with the mind of the Father and renew our mind according and align with Him, every time we do that, there's a new wineskin in our soul. What's it for? For the new wine that God wants to give us. Because He said, no man, including Him, no man puts new wine into old wineskins because they'll burst and they're both ruined. Right? So we need these new wine. And what happened just now is there were new wineskins created. There were renewed and restored things in her soul to be able to receive what God has to, what He wants to pour in. Does that make sense? And that's the way we mature. That's the way we grow. So every time that God wants to grow us, He's looking for somewhere to pour it into. But if we still set in our ways about certain things and He wants to pour something new in it, then He's not going to pour it in because we've still got this old mindset and it hasn't been renewed with the Lord. Does that make sense? So when forgiveness needs to be given and you can't or you're not willing to forgive, that means you're in an old wineskin concerning forgiveness. And He's not going to give you the floods of living water. He's not going to pour things out on you or in you into an old wineskin in that area. Does that make sense? So He's always getting us to a place of renewal. It could be about any subject, anything. And He wants us to be able to be restored in our soul. That's the reason, David said, He restores my soul. All right? Why? What's He doing? What's David saying? He said, He is getting me to the place that my soul is able to receive what He has to give me. So we bottle ourselves up and can't receive any new thing from God because we have an old mindset concerning it. He wants us to change that mindset. So we have to think about realigning ourselves with the thoughts that God has to give us. And we talked about that last week, and I'm not going to go into a lot of that because I have some other things that I want to share with you. But we did talk about that, right? One of the things here in Matthew, once the new wine comes, when you study this chapter, you begin to see that things were happening in this whole chapter, and right in the middle of it, Jesus tells them about the new wine because they're challenging Him because they're saying, you know, we're fasting. John's disciples are fasting. Pharisees are fasting. But you and your disciples, you're not fasting. You remember that? So the challenge was, you know, you need to do it the old way. They were fasting for the presence of God. But He said, I'm already here. Bridegroom's already here. It's time to celebrate, not fast. So in the process of that being challenged, and He said, you can't put, and it's talking about the the old covenant versus the new covenant, you can't take the old covenant and pour the new covenant into it. A lot of people will try to be earning everything by their do's and don'ts. And Jesus over here saying, I've already paid the price. You can't earn your salvation. You had to over here. You had to earn the forgiveness by the sacrifices. He said, I've already paid for that. So you can't say, well, I'm under the law and I'm also under grace. No. You're under grace. We can learn from the law as it reflects who Jesus is in places and all that. But we're under grace. We're under the, everybody say, new covenant. See, that's a new wineskin. Is that, you got it? That's a new wineskin, not an old wineskin. That's not the old way of doing things, but we can get so locked into, well, this is the way we've always done it. Huh? This is the way we've always done it, and God wants to pour something new into us. How many of you know that we need his new wine? We need the newness and the freshness of what he wants to give us. Because you don't have all that you're not experiencing all that he has to give you. And he wants to be able to manifest more things with the newness of the wine that he's making for us. It just shows up, but he wants somebody in his body to be so renewed and so refreshed and so restored in their soul that he can pour it in. Because once he pours it in, you can deliver it to a world who needs it. Whatever it is that he wants to pour in. But today we're going to be talking about, you know, sometimes I do not like clocks. But I'm learning how to deal with them, I'm right? So turn that one off. So no, I'm messing up. I'm kidding with you. This thing about... In other words, there are about four things I want aspects about the new wine that I want us to get. Because if you're truly willing to have your mind and your will and your emotions challenged by the presence of God and by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit, then you're a candidate for the new wine. If you're not, you're not a candidate for the new wine because he's not going to pour it into something old. You with me? That's the reason we just can't get stuck into a routine of how we do services. I hesitate. We don't do church. Say amen. Amen. We don't do church. Boy, we had church. No, we don't have church and we don't do church. We are the church. This is a building that we come together as the church and ask him to just manifest his presence any way he wants to encourage us, to help us. Amen? So when you leave here, you're still the church, even when you're in traffic. You can either say amen or oh me. Rut-row. So, we are the church. That's the reason wherever we are, church is there. That's the reason you can talk to people about the Lord, because why? You're part of the body of Christ and church is happening no matter where you are. When somebody breaks in line, when you're in a hurry, and you get a blue light special because you was in a real big hurry. And it's not Kmart either. I got a ticket last year sometime. I was on the phone, pulled out from this red light, and as soon as I pulled out from the red light, blue light special came on, and I'm like, I just stopped at a red light. I didn't run the red light. So I just kept going and pulled over here in the churchyard with the blue light on. I'm saying, could you get around here in the back so nobody sees me? No, I didn't do it. And I said, officer, is there a problem? He said, not for me. He said, you're not wearing your seatbelt. Do you normally not wear your seatbelt? I said, no, sir, I normally do. He said, okay. And he went back and he said, I'll be right back. I said, thank you. Thank you very much. He came up and he said, here's your ticket. Here's your ticket. It wasn't a warning. Here's your ticket. And I said, okay. And I said, why is it $266? I said, I thought it was just 25. He said, it is. 25 for the ticket. The rest of it's court. And I said, I didn't do nothing to the court. That's what I told him. I said, I didn't do nothing to the court. Really, I didn't. No, he just looked at me and smiled, you know. And I said, well, thank you for doing a great job. He said, you just need to wear your seatbelt. And I said, I will. And he said, do you go to church here? And I said, yes. As a matter of fact, I'm the pastor here. I'm the pastor here. He said, oh. And he said, you know, you live in South, he's known my South Carolina tag. We live in South Carolina. He said, I noticed you're a South Carolina tag. He said, you know, we live in North Carolina and my wife drives to South Carolina to work. I said, imagine that. I mean, that's amazing. And in the back of my mind, we should have got chummy before the ticket. Always looking for an angle, right? Yeah, he wanted to get all, you know, I told him, I said, my son's a law enforcement. Yeah, where at? And, it was just, and he talked to me 10 minutes while I was holding that $266 ticket. Every once in a while, I'd go, you want this back? No, I didn't do that. Why did I tell that story? Who knows? Why did I tell that story, Mike?
Lead by example, brother.
Lead by example. Go ahead and confess your sins to everybody. So I confess my... All right. Oh, patience. Getting in a hurry. Doing things that God told you not to do. Old wineskins. One of the things that you'll notice about new wine, when it begins to be poured out, it's messy. It's a little messy. Matthew chapter 1, this whole chapter, Matthew chapter 1, getting into a boat, he crossed over. Matthew chapter 5, hold it a second. Can I hit rewind? Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. And getting into the boat, he crossed over and came to his own town, and behold, they were there bringing to him a paralytic, paralyzed, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, take courage, my son. Your sins are forgiven. Here's some brand new wine. But the person was ready for it. You ready? Take courage, my son. Your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this fellow blasphemes. Here comes the mess. And behold, some of the scribes said, this fellow blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why are you thinking evil thoughts in your heart? For which is easy to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk. But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, rise, take up your bed, and go home. I just love the way Jesus did that, don't you? Oh, you got a problem with me forgiving sins? Let me show you this one. Rise up and walk. It got messy because they said he's a blasphemer. He's not doing the things that we're all used to. Sometimes when new wine is being poured into a new wineskin, if you're not willing to change, it's going to get messy because there's going to be people that says, I don't really like this. I don't like the way this looks. I don't like the way this feels. You hearing me? You know, we really need to see deliverances in the church. I mean, we had one on a Wednesday night. Kim, you were here. There you are. You were here, and Brenda was, and your husband Mike was here, and I was talking to Mike over there, and Brenda was doing deliverance right here. I mean, it was right here. Right here. And I'm over there talking to Mike, and all of a sudden I hear, Terry! Terry! Remember? Yeah, and Kim, I think you. Anyway, and I'm looking, I said, what? And I'm looking over here, and here's this girl slithering on the floor like a snake. She's laying down on the floor, just slithering. And my first thought was, I ain't going over there. She's done started something she can't get out of. Lord help her. She said, and I look at her, she says, and I knew what that meant. All of a sudden, we come over here, and she was dealing with this thing about this fear, about this thing that she had about snakes, and they was all over her legs and everything, and she was doing deliverance on her, you know, and then we just prayed for her, and next thing you know, it's like, up, sitting down, said, what are we doing? If you got an old wineskin, you'll say, I don't want that in the church. I don't like that slithering. I started to come over here and say, you can't do that. We don't allow that. The Lord said, this is some new wine. Do you want it? Oh, absolutely. She changed from that moment. Delivered. But see, if we say, no, that can't be God. Somebody says, you know, how do you know it's God? She's delivered. New wine can look messy. And it will challenge what you've thought before. If you really want the Holy Spirit to really pour out the new wine that you're not used to. And if you're staying in an old wineskin and you try to put the new wine inside you, you begin to stretch beyond your capability, and the next thing you know, your wineskin will burst if you try to take it in without changing. It can be messy. You saw it right here. He's forgiveness. Look, brand new wineskin for all these people that stood up, brand new wineskin, and he was able to pour in. That's what he does in our soul. He challenges us to say, line up. You know, I want you to change how you think on this. I was at the prison this morning, my goodness, William, there was a lot of changes this morning, wasn't there? Huh? There was healing this morning in prison. Mindsets were beginning to change. The presence of God was there, the teacher was beginning to teach. The Holy Spirit was beginning to teach the guys. It was just awesome. It really was. Just changing, restoring souls in their places that they can actually think differently and think the way God is thinking concerning things. And then new wine comes pouring in and their eyes are opened and it's like, oh, wow. You know, it's real strange at a prison when you say, hey, when are you coming back? You know, I said, well, I'm not coming back for that. You know, when you're coming back? Someone said, when you're coming back? When you're coming back? I said, I really don't know, but God knows the timing. New wine can be messy, right? It can, because why? There'll be people that'll stand against it. Well, them people clap over there. Well, clapping's in the Bible. But if you're not ready for that, are you? Y'all hearing me? Okay. He says, he said, you're thinking evil. He said, I forgive sins, and I also heal people. We started healing rooms and the resistance that we've... Healing rooms? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Been doing it how long now, Brenda? Going on 13 years. We started it, and I had people said, healing rooms? I had people to say, well, why you got to have a room? I said, you don't. You just get to. We pray for people to be healed, and we got a lot of testimonies of people being healed of cancer, people being healed in their back. I mean, it's just on and on and on, people have been healed. Who does the healing? Not the room. It's the presence of God. We believe God enough that he's going to heal people. We just believe enough to pray for them, lay hands on them. One guy says, I don't believe in having healing rooms. I don't believe you have to have a room. And I said, you don't have to have. And I asked him, I said, well, when do you do it? When do you lay hands on people and heal them? Bring healing to them? Who is saying rut-row? you need to back off of Scooby just a little bit. Hold it a second. Oh my goodness. Where was I? I was where? But no, I don't want, no, where was I at before I said back off of Scooby-Doo? When do you lay hands? He said, well, I don't. And I said, well, come over here to the room and we'll let you. You get this resistance because nobody's used to it or something that they're not doing and you're doing and like, we don't want to do that. And it's just like deliverance. I want people to be delivered. I don't care if it's right here. Jesus delivered people and they fell on the floor and rolled in the fire and all that kind of stuff. Delivering people. Why? Because they're in anguish, they're in bondage, and Jesus said, I'm here to set you free. But we try to sanitize church. Santa. You can tell I'm on a roll today. Sanitize. Try to clean everything up so everything looks real. Real nice. But he's the new wine, it's messy. So when it comes, get ready. If you start resisting, I got 2 minutes. Ha ha. I got 2 minutes here. Rise up, take your bed and go home. He goes to Matthew. This is right in the scripture. He goes to Matthew and he looks at Matthew and he's a tax collector. And you know how they loved them. They hated them. They hated tax collectors. And Jesus goes over to Matthew and he says, hey, come on, follow me. And then he goes to eat. And it says that all the tax collectors come and eat with him. The Bible says all the sinners come and eat with him. You know what a new wineskin will do? A new wineskin will have compassion. Amen. You'll be able to sit down with homosexuals. Sit down and just eat with them. Converse with them. But you'll make a bunch of religious people mad when you do. Hey, your master's over there eating with sinners. What was he pouring out? Brand new wine, a new way of doing things, a new way of loving people and not judging people. Are y'all hearing me? Well, you know what this man did to his wife? You know what this man did? Yeah, it might have been terrible. It might have been bad. But listen, he said, you can sit down and eat with them. Why do you want to do that? You can converse, talk, love on them. That's the new wine. New wine has a lot of compassion. All in this passage, you'll see where Jesus had compassion on people. If you don't have compassion, guess what you're in need of? A renewed wineskin for the compassion to be poured in. There's a lot of people that need more compassion. Because we want to judge people the way they are and what they've done. And all Jesus told us to do is, I want you to love them. I want you to love them. Love can break some strong things in people's lives. So they don't like it because, see, already it's still messy, but it's compassionate. It's still messy, but it's compassionate. But then later he says, I didn't come to heal those that were already healed. I came for those that were sick. Why are you here? What's the shape of your wineskin? Is it ready for more new wine? Or are you set in your ways? Do y'all hear that? Do you hear that? Okay. Listen, I wrote these down. Somebody comes in church. Somebody come in and they're needy. They're gay. They have AIDS. They're divorced. They're on drugs. Their life's all messed up. I'm addicted. I had an abortion. Transgender. My husband left me with all the kids. I'm all alone. I don't make enough money to pay the bills. I don't have a job. I can't hold down a job. I'm severely depressed. I don't know which way to go. I don't need to go to another church service. I need help. If our ears do not hear and not move with compassion, we're due for another wineskin. We're due to have to line up with God and say, wait a minute, that's why we're here. We're here to help the down, the out, the blind, the disgruntled. We're here to help them. You can't sit in a certain place and say, well, you know, bless God, we don't need that kind. We need all kind. We need every person that wants to come here to feel like they're free to come here. And they experience the very presence of God. And they're loved. And they're accepted. How many of you are perfect in here? John, don't raise your hand. You begin to see all these. Nobody's perfect, including the man standing behind the pulpit. We're on a journey, but along the journey, God's going to send us people that we need to say, I love you. I'll help you. I'll give you the new wine that I have. But if you don't have any new wine, you're going to give them the old stuff that they're used to. Maybe give them religion. They don't need religion. They don't want religion. They've seen religion, and it's ugly, except for the pure religion in the Bible. So it's very compassionate. That's the second thing. The third thing is it smells like something burning. Why is that? Because there's power in new wine. There's power to bring healing. There's power. There's such an energy with the new wine. It's just such an energy that comes and has the power to be able to break curses. It has the power to be. You look all through that chapter and you begin to see they had the power. Look, listen to this. While he said these things about the wineskins, look at verse 18. While he said these things about the wineskins, behold, there came a synagogue official. And he bowed down before him. This synagogue official bowed down. He said, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Ooh. Jesus rose up and began to go and follow him. Where was he? What was he headed to do? He was headed to go raise her up. And in the process of going, guess what happened? The funeral. Anyway, procession. Got interrupted. He's following this man. The daughter died, and they're on their way. And here, this woman comes breaking through the crowd, just pushing and shoving through the crowd, I got to get there. And right in the middle of going to the funeral, it's interrupted by a woman that's been sick for 12 years. Jesus turns. She touches him. He says, "Who touched me?" Disciples said, "We got all these people. How did we know who touched you?" "No, somebody touched me. I felt virtue. I felt power leaving me." So on the way, and as soon as she got healed, they kept on going. And he gets to the house and raises the child up. It's powerful. New wine is power. New wine is messy. Huh? It'll interrupt the funeral. Look, man, I'm running over. The last one, after, you know, there's really some, there's power to deliver, power to heal hurts and pains, power to speak the truth, power to be able to influence people to see God. The reason he don't see it in your light is not shining, it is no one's fault but yours. Why? Because I'm comfortable with where I am. I'm under a basket. If nobody sees my light, I'm under a man-made thing. I'm under something that's man-made and not given to me by the Spirit, and it hides my light. Fourth thing, and the last thing, is the new wine smells like a party. Why? Jesus is there, and he wants to celebrate. We have so many Christians that can't smile and celebrate the life that is within inside them, even though they're going through the hardest thing they've ever gone through in their life. We sang a song that says, "The joy of the Lord is what? My strength." It's not your joy. It's the joy, it's the Lord's joy. That he rejoices over you no matter what you're going through. He rejoices. The Bible said he spins, he twirls over you. In Zephaniah. It's his joy that strengthens you. He has joy over you. He has joy in you. And it's his joy that brings us the strength to go through the hard times. So no matter what you're going through, the new wine that he pours out will be just what you need for the day that you're in. Give it to others. Amen. 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 Y'all ready to, again, we asked you last week, you ready to just have the Lord just speak to you concerning things? And you need to read this Bible. Find out what he wants us to do. Find out what he tells you to do as you read it. And where you're not in alignment, begin to ask him to renew it. Line up with his word. And when that alignment happens, it's a renewal that happens to you. And it makes a transformation in you. That's the new wineskin. And he also said, when you do that, you'll be able to know what the will of God is. I have so many people say, "Well, I don't know the will of God." And I said, "Well, have you renewed your mind?" Yes. Well, no. And I said, "There's your start. The Lord wants you to know his will." I mean, we can find the things that he says in here that we need to do and not do. Right? The new wine is coming. Yes. We're going to need it for the day that is approaching. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Are you? Christians should not be afraid. I was over to prison. One guy looked at me and he said, "Are you okay?" I said, "No." "Really?" I said, "No, I'm not okay." Well, what's wrong? Is there anything I can do? And I said, oh, no. Can you outdo Jesus? I'm a child of the living God. I gave up okay a long time ago. Culture wants us to say okay because it doesn't bother them. You tell them, hey, I'm a child of the King. I'm a son of the living God. I'm a child. Look, I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. I may not feel like it, but that's who I am. The world can't handle that. They want you to say, I'm fine. I'm okay. What in the world does a child of the King have to do with fine and okay? Well, the bell has rung. I love you people. I really do. I want to challenge you to let the Lord just speak to you concerning these two messages. And how many of you want to just remain the same? See, nobody's raising their hand. How many of you want to have the freshness of God just penetrating who you are and just pouring you out all over the place? You know, that's what we have to have. We have what's coming around the corner. I don't even know what it looks like. I don't know what it's going to sound like. I don't know any of that. But I know who He is. And we are ready for the task as long as we're able to drink the new wine and have the newness of God being poured into us. Right? Then we'll be ready. Because there'll be people, I'm telling you, there'll be people that will be so lost they have no idea which way to go. They're made for you. They're made for you and I to be able to receive the new things from God as we allow our soul to be restored. Amen. Stand to your feet. I had a pastor to tell me in one of the meetings one time and with other pastors, and he said, you know, we would come over to your church and have some things. I said, you're always welcome to come. He said, well, we heard you jump pews. And I said, I looked at him and I said, well, that's not true. We have chairs. And I said, that way when we jump one and we don't make clear it, we just knock one thing over instead of a whole row. And they said, really? I said, nah. Come see. I just love it, don't you? Grab somebody's hand beside you and let's just... Lord, we're in this together. We're part of your body, your completeness. Lord, we don't want to remain where we are. We want to be renewed. We want our wineskins to be so fresh that you can pour any wine that you so desire into us. And then when you send us out, we'll be ready for whatever we face. So strengthen us. And we ask you to pour out the new wine. We're ready. Even for the mess, we're ready. Even for the opposition, we're ready. We just want you to be glorified. And we want people to see you as you really are. We ask it in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Next weekend, we have someone from China that is coming in on Friday and Saturday morning, and it's going to be disciple making. It's going to change your life. It'll open things up for you to be able to do more witnessing by telling your story. Next Friday at 6, I think. Next Friday. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.